Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Think Tank. Here we have conversations about everything. And during our time together, we aim to awaken the mind, energize the body, and connect the spirit. We want to just say thank you to everyone who has made us your go-to podcast for conversations that allow you to think and that awaken your best self. I am your host, Sequita, your energy, perception, health, mental wellness expert, and I am here with my fabulous co-host and expert in his own right, James. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here for another episode of Superhero Think Tank. I'm looking forward to the conversation today.
Great. Our topic for today is going to be blending family, faith, and finances. So, yes, putting it all together, faith, finances, family, and everything that comes in between that. And that's big in today's society because as you look around, almost every family is blended in some way, and there's an intermixing of so many things. So we definitely thought that this was a great topic to talk about as it relates to relationships, love, marriage, life, whether you're in a marriage, whether you're trying to start a relationship, whether you're recovering from a relationship and deciding if I want to do this again, and if so, how do I want to do it, because something is mixed.
Well, one thing's for sure, at some point in your lives, there's going to be a blending of family, finances, one of these three, for sure, and faith. If not all of them,
right?
Because when two people are coming together, two ideologies are coming together, and in addition to that, nowadays people have children from another marriage or from another person, and now two people are trying to connect,
right?
That already have children.
Right.
All right. And so that's something that needs to be discussed, if that's
definitely
the case.
Definitely has to be discussed.
Because there could be different parenting styles. There could be, there's other people involved other than the kids.
Right.
All right. There's a mother somewhere. There's a father somewhere. That's all that's going to be in the picture. And so these are conversations that need to be had.
And this is a conversation that we actually can have because we are a blended family. We have six kids. And we're not just a blended family. We're a blended family. We blended faith. So we have interfaith. We blended backgrounds.
Definitely finances.
Finances. We blended that as well. So we definitely have some blends going on here. So we can definitely speak on this topic. You talked about sometimes there are children involved, families, and especially we'll start with just relationships and marriages, just going out. And when you look at the stats, that number one, 40% of just first marriages end in divorce. So that's just, you know, when you got married, it didn't work. 40%.
That's
high.
Yeah, I consider that high.
Right. And then, but the second marriages, 60% of second marriages end in divorce because there may be those blends or, you know, you kind of, people are more guarded when they go into a second marriage. You have the different marriage styles, different thinking styles, and there may be children involved in their marriage. But marriages that come in where both parents have children from a previous marriage, 70% of those marriages end in divorce. 70%. Now, that is an extremely high number, and there is some factors that we have to definitely look at.
Wow, 70%. First of all, hearing that number, I'm feeling pretty blessed.
Yeah. Right, come on, give me a high five on that.
There you go. I'll get you some right there.
Yeah.
Because to go, 17 years in this blended family, I'm going to say that we're on the other side of the number we done made it.
Right.
Now, but there certainly was some rough times, especially in the beginning when you have a blended family. First of all, as you stated, in about 40% of first marriages end in divorce. Mm-hmm. That just lets you know right there that just people coming together is a difficult thing all by itself. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then when you add other little people to the mix, and then some big parents in the background, it makes it, because we have to be concerned not just about me and the other person now. Now you have to be about concerned about me, the other person that I'm in a relationship with, the children, on both sides, if I have one, if you have one, or if there's, then you have to think about who helped produce this child.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're going to be in the mix. Mm-hmm. They're going to know who you're dating, who their kids are going to be around, how involved they're going to be. And these are for some tense moments.
I think it's necessary, just going back to some of the things that we did to get over the humps, I think it's necessary to have conversations and set some parameters as much as you can. You got to have guidelines, and those that has to be between all adults involved, especially because the ages of the kids make a difference when you're blending families and when you're coming in, especially when you're bringing kids in from both sides. Those ages do make a difference. And so if kids are not old enough yet to speak for themselves, to a higher degree, the parents involved definitely have to be willing to come together and work together. And you have to kind of grow up. You know, blending families will make you grow up and not be so selfish about, hey, this is my feeling about this, or I want to make sure the other person doesn't get better than I got type thinking, or, you know, I don't want to see them together, because we have a tendency that to think that if a person can't work with us, they shouldn't be able to work with anybody else as well. And sometimes we take on that as a personal thing. Well, you know, they're not going to find anybody better than me, or they're not going to have anybody better than me. So it must be the person, or we put all that blame and responsibility there. But the reality is that sometimes two people just don't work.
It just don't work.
They just don't work. Whether it was we got together too early, we had to mature, we had to grow, we find out different things about ourselves, we just don't work. And that doesn't mean that the person is still not a good person on both sides. Both people are usually good people, they just were not good together. And you can be great and then become toxic when you're mixed with a certain person or a certain type of thinking, because again, those chemical balances and imbalances.
I was thinking chemistry, girl. I'm telling you, I was thinking chemistry. You put these two things together, it's going to be like that little lava thing coming out.
Yes, this will cause an explosion.
Baking soda and vinegar, I think.
Right,
that was.
This will cause an explosion. And so, but apart, they're very useful for other things. And so there are people who can go on to be great parents and better parents when they're apart than they ever were when they're separate. Now, of course, the ideal a relationship is to, you know, have all of the family together, the kids, and grow up. You want to be a happy family.
Absolutely.
And tie that knot. But if you cannot manage that, there are definitely...
And if it's too late for that.
And it's
too late for that.
And if it's too late for that, there definitely, you should consider that the parties involved and the other person that's going to be a part of my children's life, I need to make sure that that relationship is as healthy as it can be, because I don't want them to keep going through this over and over again.
Absolutely. So one of the main things is whoever the person that you're dating or and that you're with now, first of all, you have to see where their mindset is about the children that you have, and you need to have that conversation with them first to make them aware of, hey, well, I get the kids on the weekend, the mom will be coming by dropping them off, we got baseball game, football games, what are we going to do when there's a party at the little bounce house place, and we're going to be there, the kids going to be there, and the baby's mother are going to be there, the baby's father is going to be there. How are we going to
all interact?
How are we all going to interact? How are you going to be? What can I do to help make it easier, not just on you, but on me.
Take
as well.
As much stress out of the situation as we can. Yes. And both parties have to be willing to do that, because I think sometimes the person that's coming in that will be either the new person in the relationship or that could become a future step parent, they kind of feel already out of place.
Yes.
And so they kind of maybe want somebody or something to take the pressure off of them. But you also have to be willing to know that the pressure is on everybody. Everybody is being displaced in this moment. Mm-hmm. And so we have to work together to take the pressure.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable for everybody.
It's pretty much uncomfortable for everybody.
The children, too.
A lot, because they don't know what to do. They're wondering, like, what happened to, you know, what I'm used to? And the parents are feeling guilty. You know, there's guilt involved. There's anger involved. There are a lot of emotions that go on. And so everybody has to kind of consider each other in the process, I believe. I know, like, early on for us, some things that I believe really helped is the kids' mom and I having our own conversations about what we expected from each other when we got to the point where we knew that this was serious. You know, having some our own conversation about what we expect, what we were willing to do, not willing to do, and just kind of setting our own boundaries that had nothing to do with you, that had nothing to do with necessarily, you know, how we felt about each other, but had everything to do with how are we going to, you know, bring these kids together, and what can you expect from me? What do you want? What do you expect from me as a co-parent in this situation? Mm-hmm. You know, how are you going to feel if I discipline your kids? What do you think they're going to be in my house and I not discipline your kids? What's going to happen with that? So us coming together, having our own conversations.
Those are so important.
It is, because if you wait for it now,
you wait for something to happen.
Yes.
You're like, what you doing spanking my kids?
Right.
Ain't no way I told you.
Because, you know, kids can be manipulating too, especially if they're in the young age. They will go home and spin it a whole different way. And so I that's why I think communication between all the parents are key, because I've heard through just counseling too, where you will have mixed families, a family blended together, and one parent will say, well, this relationship or my child with this person has absolutely nothing to do with this relationship, so I'm just going to deal with the mom. Or I hear men more so say it than women. I'm just going to deal with the mom, or I'm just going to deal with the dad, and I don't want this person to deal with them at all because this is between me and that person. And I guess if that works, that works. But I wonder how long can that work?
So I just want to make sure I understand you. So you're saying that, the person's in a new relationship now, the kids are involved. Mm-hmm. And so let's say I'm the dad, mm-hmm. and there's an outside mom, and saying, hey, I'm just going to be the one dealing with the mom.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
So that's what I hear a lot. Now, I think that works in the first stage of the relationship, like when you when you all are still dating, when you're still getting to know whether or not this person is going to be a part of my life.
I agree with that.
Now, but I'm not so sure that works for longevity in a marriage.
It does not.
Because, and I'm looking at that 70% stat and thinking, if you're trying to keep that person so separated from this unit, which that person is now a part of, because in marriage, to become one or to become a co-unit together, but you're keeping them so separated. And then and the mind has a funny way that it can't stand ambiguity. It can't stand to be left out of things that I'm supposed to be a part of. And, you know, I'm supposed to be sharing this experience with you in some way, because, you know, when you think of family, you think family with you and the person you're married to, but then that person now is familying with somebody else that was prior to you, but is still with somebody else. So I don't know how the other party, whether they're male or female, does that long term without it affecting them, because it's going to affect them in some way. It's going to affect their finances. It's going to affect their house. It's going to affect them.
Well, so absolutely, it's going to affect them.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, they're going to feel like I'm being left out of everything that's going on here. I don't know what's going on other than what you're saying. I would like to be part of the conversation. And then the other part of that, when you start talking about finances, now all of a sudden, okay, so maybe this person is not dealing with the other parent involved, and just kind of on the outside. But all of a sudden, $600 is leaving our household, going over here, and it don't got the kid's name on it. It right. got the dad's name on it or the mom's name on it. And I'm like, what do you mean we're not having a conversation about money leaving the house, and I don't have a say what's going on? I can't talk to the other person. No, all these things have to be done. Now, hopefully that everyone can be an adult and have these conversations. I know at times, even for us, it was better that you had the conversations.
Absolutely.
With the kid's mother, because there were still heightened tension.
Right.
That was still there, but not as much on your side. Mm-hmm. So much more was able to be accomplished because you have to have cooler heads prevailing.
Yeah, I definitely think that was one of the keys, and is still one of the keys to our success, is that when it comes down to parenting them, we kind of just get together and work out schedules and plans, and, you know, this is what's best for us, this is what's best, you know. Or I remember we would do back to school shopping budget, this is what we'll do, this is, and it's just, you know, because, you know, as women, we kind of come together and run the household, at least I did, that it just worked better, and there was less fallout, there was less misunderstanding. I knew what everything was, and to make sure it ran properly in the house, and to make sure she was okay as a parent too, saying, okay, I know if my kids are down there, this is going to be happening because these are the assurances I have. And she also, I think, got to see my mindset towards the kids, toward them coming, towards they're in school, and knowing that, okay, this person does want the best for my kids too, will kind of give the other parent the ability to ease, you know, be at ease with somebody else stepping in. Because sometimes I'll hear women say, oh, she's just mean, she's just this, but it's not that. Another person is having a say-so in the life that you birthed. Yes. That's hard to do. That's yes. hard to let go of. Yes. And I think having an understanding of that, and not even, because you don't know how that person is going to treat your kid. You don't know what's going to happen. And so you're trusting somebody else with the life that you carry, with a bond that you share. And so there is some kind of insecurity that may come with that from the parent. It's like, you know, what role is this person going to play? How much influence are they going to try to have in my child's life? Are they going to hurt my child?
Are they going to be trying to poison my child against me?
So that person has to come with that. And to me, just being real, certain cultures have that more than others, because cultures come up differently in learning different, and we see loyalty differently, and we see get back at the other person or try to sabotage at the you know, the other person differently in different cultures. Because you have, where in some of the more European cultures, people will stay together just to keep the family together, no matter what is going on. Whereas, you know, kind of more in some of the other cultures, it's like, if I don't like this, or if I'm tired of this person, we'll go our separate ways. But now we can't even talk anymore. We can't, you know, or I've counseled couples who they're so in love. They're so in love before they get pregnant, and then after the baby, they can't stand each other anymore. And so there is a different mindset already going in, and trying to manage all of those mentalities and still keep the kids okay. Because the kids could even be thinking at this point where, I don't want somebody else disciplining me, or who do I talk to whenever I have a problem? Because I'm used to only going to my mom or my dad. Now you're telling me I got to check in with a different person. I don't want to have to do that. And I don't know how to do that because I've never done it before. And sometimes they can get mishandled or fussed at or looked at improperly because we're asking them to do something they've never had to do before and expecting them to just kind of come in and do it.
That's why it's so important to include the kids at whatever level they're at, as far as age appropriate, having that conversation with them about what's going on, what the future holds, what it's going to look like, so they're included at some level.
Absolutely.
And having I don't want to say having a say, but they're certainly being able to express their voice.
Yes. Yes. Their voice needs to be heard, and they need to be advocated for throughout the relationship. And I think that if you are ending a relationship and you know that you are, especially if the kids are younger, I think they need to be talked to. And even if they are very young, you might want to look at getting some therapeutic help for the family. And just before you take them into something else. And if you meet somebody else, of course, you'll have your own guidelines for how early you introduce somebody to the kids. But definitely if you're dating someone and you're dating them long term, you need to be, you definitely finding out how they feel about children, what are their parenting styles like, making sure that they understand what your family obligations are to the other person, what you and the other person have already decided upon. And
run through some scenarios before the actual events happen.
Right. And then sitting down and talking to the kids about this new person in your life, how you actually feel about them, what you expect from the relationship. Because kids are more resilient than we give them credit for. And they're smarter a lot of times than we give them credit for. And they want to be talked to. They want to be included because this is their family. And a lot of times they're protective of that family. Not only that, after you get married, sitting down and telling them and showing them what the new family unit is going to look like. And as they grow older in it, or if they're already adult in it, you know, or closer to the adult age, you still need to talk to them because, you know, sometimes we have the tendency to think, well, they're old enough to understand. They know what's going on. They still need a conversation.
Yes,
they still need to be able to voice their opinion. They still need to for you to understand if they have anything about it that doesn't sit well with them. And you don't have to defend it, you need to hear it. And before we spend a whole bunch of time trying to, well, you know, this is who I'm gonna be with, this is this, and you just got to accept it, and these are my rules, or you're gonna live in my house type thing. Mm-hmm. You need to hear their understanding. And they also need to spend times, if you're blending families and both of you have kids, they need to spend some time with each other as far as the children.
Yes.
Because one of the number one things that that they experience in blended families is sibling rivalry, identity confusion, and then the mixed feelings about the step-parent. And then the other big part to causing a disruption is the legal obligations of the either parent. And so these things need to be discussed because sometimes, you know, you may be looking at the other sibling and thinking, already I got to like mark out my territory. I got to prove which one mm-hmm. is the boss, or the other sibling is like the new sibling coming in is like, I don't know where to be. And the older sibling that's already been there.
There's so many different dynamics.
Yes.
Because it could be a lot of different things. The kids live with someplace else. They only uh-huh. get to see you on the weekends, but these other kids are there with you already. So they could be thinking, oh, well, they're getting way more stuff
yes.
than me because they're there every day. And then there's also a level of guilt. I know for myself, you know, although the relationship was not going to work out, it was not going to get better, a separation and going our separate ways was necessary, but there was a guilt level every time the kids come around. It's like, I ain't about to whoop nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cream, absolutely. It's 9 a.m. Go ahead and fix
get
you a bowl.
You want.
Yeah, you know.
Right.
And just trying to overcompensate and be real light and different mm-hmm. things, because there's even a level of guilt on the parent.
Absolutely.
On navigating this whole thing. One of the things that I think that made it easier was, first of all, faith.
Yeah.
All right, bringing faith in, being able to pray, being able to meditate, being able to stay strong was very important. And also doing things together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Doing things together as a family, whether that's going out to the beach, whether that's playing catch in the backyard, everybody playing cards,
mm-hmm.
Playing games, karaoke, trips, you
yes.
know.
We did that so much to the point the kids would teach you, you know how dad is about his family time. And so family time became a big thing for us because, yeah, blending, you are blending the unit together. And I want to go back to something you said, because you talked about that guilt and you're like, okay, yeah, you can pretty much have whatever you want, do whatever you want. I'm not going to discipline them. And that is big, because the other parent is sitting there looking like, I don't let my kids do this, you know? And if you let them do that, then they're going to be thinking that it's okay for them to do that. And so you kind of like, you're trying to protect. Because I remember like the situations where I think water guns, right? And I would not let my kids play with water guns. And every time they came, you know, it was like, oh, they're used to playing with water guns. And I'm like, well, this is not, you know, we don't play with this. And so there was a difference in our parenting style in that, because it's like, and I remember you telling me that, look, I only got this amount of time with them. I'm definitely not about to mess it up over a water gun. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I believe I understood that for you, the time with them was important, because you were you felt already that you were missing out. And so, but I also understood that I still had to manage this household and I couldn't just let anything go. So then it became where the faith comes in. I couldn't just keep coming at you with don't do this, because there's no way that you're going to not give your kids that time and not let them have as much fun as they can. So I had to really begin to pray and ask for the divine intelligence to help me to come up with ways, help to be creative enough to blend this together in a way where, number one, my house didn't get tore up. I didn't. number two, we wasn't so far against what are the our moral beliefs, thinking and yeah. core beliefs that, or it didn't cause where the other kids were confused about what is our actual rules in this house. And so how do we blend those all together where, you know, the kids can go back happy, the kids can say, I actually enjoyed being down here, and then the kids that were already here can say, I enjoy having them here, because mm-hmm. I didn't feel like we got to do all kind of stuff. And, you know, because we have a blend within a blend, because we got one kid that's very quiet. We got a couple of kids that's real outgoing and eccentric. We got, you know, kid that's athletic, and, you know, then we got somebody that I like to just sit down. So, you know, you're blending all different types of personalities. So how to make everybody. So we really had to get creative, and the trips and faith and praying for, and when you pray, actually receiving the answers, even if the answer is, you got to change how hard or how tight your hold is on this. You got to be able to adjust right here and become flexible enough to understand what's really going on past just a rule, past just this weekend, because you got the rest of your lives together.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
absolutely.
That is a very big key. And that identity confusion that comes in with the kids, I think is a big key, because sometimes now the kids are thinking, where do I fit? Not only just in the family, where do I fit with the parents now? Because when I've had to counsel kids, they say, if I like my step parent, whether it's a stepmom, stepdad, but when I go home, I'm not allowed to talk about them in a good way because my parent doesn't like them. So there's almost this loyalty of, I want to like you, but I can't like you because I see my mom still hurting or my dad still hurting where it comes to you. So I'm torn as to what I'm supposed to do, because my loyalty, their loyalty is to the parent.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is so true. And it's difficult to navigate, but only if you're not really trying at it.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is it has to be a lot of openness for everyone to be able to talk and express themselves. And of course, we're going to have rules.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to talk about those rules and talk about how things change, and being adults
mm-hmm.
enough to not let our emotions get too involved where we can't make rash decisions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, rational, logical decisions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. So I think that's important too, because, and I think parents have to remember that, one, if you want the kids to, because the new person coming in, the new person that's dating coming in or getting married coming in, if you want the kids to like you, do not disrespect their other parent.
Oh, absolutely.
That is the number one rule. Like, don't disrespect their other parent. Don't talk about their other parent in a negative way. Even if they make you upset, do not do that in front of the parent, because that child is an extension of that parent. And if you talk about that parent, you're talking about that child.
Yes.
And they need to see you talking about things that will uplift their parent. When you talk about their parent, talk about them in a positive way, because don't do that. And because they will not bond with you. And so that's one key factor, a key tip. Another key tip is don't try to talk so hard too soon. Don't be fake with it.
I was thinking that.
Don't be fake with it. I remember, like, for my kids with you, calling you dad had to be their own time frame, and for one, it happened right away. But, you know, and usually with guys is easier. For the girl, it happened right away, but not with my son, because he's sitting there looking at you like, you know, how you gonna be treating my mama is what they want to know. And so, and vice versa for me with the boys, it was very easy coming in, as far as they took to me quicker. One, because of the age, you know, one because my youngest son was younger, so he kind of like, I don't know what's really going on, and all I know is, as long as I've been around to remember you, you've been a part of my life, because he's, you know, we've been together 17 years and he's just now turning 18, so I've been in his life for all that time. And then the older son, we bonded on our own terms, and because he got to come and be with us first and live with us. And so, but he also liked me as a person starting off. And so we kind of just got that chance to bond. And I remember the moment I knew that we had our own relationship is when somebody that was talking to us called me his stepmom. And he said, no. This not my stepmom. This my mom. And, you know, he wanted everybody to know how proud he was of our relationship. And I knew that, you know, that we had our own relationship then. And it didn't have to compete with the one he had with his mom.
Absolutely.
And it's just that, you know, he has two sides that he can, you know, glean from, learn from.
And it could be even better for the children, because once you take the toxicity out of the relationship that you was in, because it's not good for the kids to see all the arguing and the stomping and the looks, even the energy. You think they can't feel the energy and the tension? So to have to come into someplace where now there's peace and so a better environment, and making the environment conducive for them. So all these things play a major role.
Yes, and I think I'm so glad, because I do think we are blessed, because my kids love you, your kids love me, and so we all look at each other as a family. Now, that doesn't mean we all get along at the same levels, because again, as they become adults, they still have their own ideas, identities, and, you know, it's hard enough with your regular parents, you know, keeping everything together. So, you know, at this point, I'm thankful that they all call me, they all trust me, they all talk to me, we have our own relationships.
They call you more than they call me.
Well, I am the conversationist in the family, and so, yeah, they do.
I talk to them like my dad talked to me. I call my dad 5 minutes later. Well, all right then.
I think
it's good talking to you.
Because, you know, you talk from that military background too. So when they really want to get something, you know, they still know I'm kind of the softy. But another thing we blended was faith.
Oh. God, that's a whole nother segment.
I know. That is. That another thing we blended was faith. But it also ties in, because, like I said, about praying, and we were you know, having to get creative in the time we were blending the families, and then praying about it, and then we looking at each other cross-eyed early on. I would say the first year was the hardest as far as after we got married. After that, once we started kind of leveling things out about, okay, we're just not going to argue about the kids. I remember us coming together and saying that the kids are going to grow up and leave.
That's the thing right there.
We're going to be here. So what we're not going to do, I remember you saying it like that, what we're not going to do is give up all of this for people who we're training to grow up and leave, because we're going to be together. And I think that for me solidified our marriage, to know that I'm going to do everything possible to work for us together and give them still a healthy environment, but we're going to work together because I'm not just planning for right now. I'm also planning for after they leave. And for after they leave, I still wanted us to be still on that newlywed level where we can still enjoy each other after they leave, because sometimes people come together just to get the kids right. We're together because we want to raise the kids. We want them to do. And after we manage their lives and we got, now we're left
and
with each
we're
other.
Looking at each other like,
we don't have nothing to share, nothing to do. But that really, that part right there, when you, we had that conversation, you telling me, look, we're going to be together. This is permanent. And I remember you saying, look at my arm. Look at you. You know, because my name is tattooed on your arm. I remember you saying, look right here, this is permanent. And knowing that and having that peace of understanding that, hey, we are working together, but we're not just working for the moment of raising kids. We're working for what happens after we get them out. And that is, that's us. So it's us in the beginning, it's us in the middle, and it's us after they leave. And they get to benefit from a good us. They
yes,
get the benefit
yes,
from the
yes,
best us
yes.
we can give them.
That's important.
And yeah, that is important. And faith was a big part of that. And it was kind of difficult because I'm, you know, a Christian background. You were coming from a Muslim background. And so we were blending faith at the same time. And so I'm in there praying. I'm in there, you know, reading scripture. And you're looking at me when I'm trying to, like, kind of bring it to you. Like, I don't understand all of this. But how beneficial do you think that being in that setting, learning faith at the same time, and bringing both of your faith background and my faith background, how much of a background did your faith play in being able to stabilize in that moment?
Well, I think the thing for me, especially that first year,
mm-hmm.
right, because I was coming from a Muslim background, but by the time we were married, I was a Christian, but I still have, you know, cultural beliefs
right.
about the woman's space and place.
Yes.
But not getting into that too much, but getting on the other side of that and being a Christian now and going through things, I worked that first Bible really hard.
Yes.
You
yes,
know what I mean?
I remember that.
Because,
it's all tore up too.
Yeah, because I would be wanting to go off, and I'll be wanting to snap, and I'll be wanting to do all the things that made that relationship fail.
Uh-huh.
And so I would just go and read, and I would just read and get an understanding and get a peace and
mm-hmm.
and pray and be able to come to myself and wanting that peace to fall over into my relationship with you, wanting that peace to fall over to a relationship with the kids,
mm-hmm.
and that helped keep me grounded.
I remember you used to tell me, you give me so much trouble.
That was
your saying. You give me so much trouble because I had opinions about everything.
And see, and that's what it was. Like, I don't want no kind of confrontation. I don't want none of that. None of that sassy, shake your head. I ain't with that. You know what I'm saying? I ain't about that life.
Right.
I ain't
about
that.
And you wasn't used to that.
Yeah.
You were not
I'm
used
about
to
bounce all that life. Oh,
right.
Okay,
you were not used to anybody challenging you. Because kind of in relationships, like you said, everybody just lets you do what you wanted. But I had my own standards. And I'm like, okay, no, this is not what I'm willing to accept. But you said something that was key, is that you said that you started reading and you worked the Bible, you worked the faith, you worked your prayer, and you did all the things that opposite from what you did in the first relationship or the previous relationship that to stop you from doing all the stuff you would have normally done. So you were really too resetting your default mode, and there had to be something that gave you the willingness to reach for something different for what you would normally do. Because it's easy to revert back to what we normally do. We know, yeah. I'm grown. I can do what I want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why you have to, what's best for me, though.
Yeah. That is it.
What's best for me.
Yeah.
Like, even you challenging me, that was probably best for me. Because left to my own devices, you know, it's... I'm a fun guy at the party, mm-hmm. but, you know, it gets out of hand. The party gets out of hand.
Yeah.
So to speak, to give that illustration. Because y'all don't need to know my business like that, all right? You know what I'm saying? It ain't like, so, but you challenge
that
me.
Know what I'm saying kind of gave it off.
Yeah,
gave
what I'm saying. See, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? That kind of tell them that's yeah, that, yeah.
But that enabled me to start looking at things differently and also saying, oh, I can't do that with her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm gonna have to switch something up. I ain't gonna be staying that late and just coming in whenever I feel like I'm coming in. No, that ain't. And so, but that's because you know what? People need a standard. People say they don't want discipline, but they actually kind of do want discipline.
Yeah, even kids, they do.
Call it discipline, call it structure, call it a standard. And what happens is people who really want something will rise to that standard.
Right. And studies show that kids blossom more. They're more productive, more intelligent when they have a standard. When they have those, not where overbearing and strict, but when they have a standard that they rise to and that they go by, kids feel more safe. And so I think that when you are blending and you know, kids get in the house, you can't just like let all the rules go out the window. But, you know, bringing that structure in into the new family and beginning to talk about what this is going to look like up in here is going to be key, because you are blending so many things. You're blending finances, you're blending faith, you're blending people, you're blending personalities, and it can work. We're proof that can work.
Yeah, you're from Alabama originally. I'm from
Philly,
Philadelphia area. So we got that dynamic.
Yes, I mean, our cultures are very different.
You're on the church pew on Wednesday, Tuesday, Sunday, and probably some other days.
Yes,
and you know, I'm
and
on,
even money wise, you know, I'm more. I grew up more with money. You grew up more without money. I'm more, even now, I'm more the saver or the person who will budget. I'm more like, okay, let's stick to the budget. Let's do this. And you make a lot of money, you know, because you're top in sales and, you know, expert business, sales and marketing. So you make a lot of money, but I am the person that will manage how
to make sure we still got some left.
Right. Yeah. So
because what happens is, because when you grow up without money, then you start using money as your tool for happiness or for to get what you didn't get back then and get it in a grander scale and try to make yourself feel better. And I kind of off the topic of blended families, but it's slides in there. But so you start compensating for that.
Yes.
And I'm not going to lie. Absolutely. I wanted to show that I'm pushing this Mercedes, pushing mm-hmm. this Jaguar, living behind this gate or whatever. And it's not the project gate. But after a while,
right.
You know, it's not about those things.
Right.
Because those things are coming from a fear-based place.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then once you start operating out of love, it's, you know, those things are important. What's important is that we are in a safe place. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, yes.
And that we do have some securities available to us.
Right.
As far as finances in the bank.
Yes.
And so having those budgets are important. I'm glad you keep up with them.
Yes.
And I'm glad that I'm still able to say, but let's take this trip to Europe.
You
know,
right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? And still having some fun.
You're right, right.
But
that's those, important.
Those two different cultures that are blending as well. So
they complement each other.
And we are able to grow
yes.
when we could talk about these things and the why behind why we're doing certain
yes.
things.
Yes. So just to give a few tips as we get ready to close this out, if you are dating and you're looking and you're dating someone and both of you have kids, definitely think about that dynamic. Talk about what that's going to look like if the relationship proceeds any further. Talk about, like I said, any kind of already pre ideas and promises that you have with the other parent that the person needs to know about. You know, how you already said you were going to do things. And as the relationship progresses and you get into the marriage, definitely talk to the kids. Talk to the kids before about the person that you're dating. Tell them some things about them. Talk to the parent of the children about the person that you're dating. So talk, talk, talk. Communication is key when you are blending families. And as that relationship begins to grow and it progresses to marriage, if you're already in the marriage and you're having some issues about the family, or you feel like the kids are being manipulative, or one parent doesn't like me, or this, that, and other, try seeing their parent from a different angle. Try getting to them to the place where, number one, you understand that kids' loyalty is to their parent. They're never going to feel about their parent like you do. Even if you are the parent that's talking about the other parent, they're never going to feel about their parent like you do, because they can only see them from love. And let them figure it out on their own, whatever they need to figure out about that parent.
Absolutely. If their parent is rotten, they'll figure it out eventually. Right. You ain't got to be telling them right now.
You don't have to tell them. Don't talk to them.
They'll start seeing for themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I know you have to maybe, you know, there are some situations where you have to keep the child in a safe place, or you know, and law and all of that has to get involved. And so let them do the talking. Let them do it. But you, on your part, you stay saying, you know, positive things about the parent. And so when you're thinking about blending faith, finances, and we'll delve into this topic a little bit more in another podcast, you know, think about a blender. Think about a blender. And this is probably the simplest way I can give you tips and explain it. But when you're using a blender, there are things that you have to do to even use the blender. And the first thing you have to do is you have to plug it in. And so when you're bringing your faith together, you're bringing your family together, when you're bringing mixing things together, you have to begin to plug it in a way that means that I got to plug it into an outlet that's going to work for me. I cannot just take it and put it in something that, okay, this is not going to work. If a person doesn't want to have children, if a person doesn't want to, you know, think outside the box as it relates to culture, if you got a closed-minded person, you cannot plug into a plug that's closed. If it's got the cap on it, so you have to have an open-minded person. Next thing you have to do is you got to take the lid off before you can use the blender. And taking that lid off, meaning that you have to begin to open this communication up to all parties involved. You got to open your mind to the blend. You can't just blend. You have to open your mind to the kids. You have to open your mind to the kid's parent, whether that's male or female. You have to open your mind to, this is a big one. You have to open your mind to who your person now used to be with them, and understand that they don't see them the way that you see them. Because, you know, like,
the other person is saying, I'm seeing them as an enemy, and you're seeing them as someone.
This my boo, this my husband, this my wife, and you see the good in them. But remember, that person in them didn't work, so they see them from a whole different angle. And so you have to open your mind up to the understanding of their hurt, their pain, and what they went through. And next thing you have to do is you got to put in ice. If you're making a smoothie or whatever you're blending together, you got to put in some kind of ice, which what that would look like. You got to put in some kind of ingredient that will cause it to be where things can mix in, and it's got to be something solid first. So the first thing you put is something stable enough to cause other ingredients to be able to come in there. So you got to build some kind of foundation, and that looks like setting some standards, setting some parameters, and then you got to decide what ingredients you're going to use, because you cannot blend everything at once. So blend small things at one time, or you're going to run the risk of blowing up your blender, messing it up. You can't put everything in there. Blend, decide what you're going to blend, what ingredients you're going to use. This year we may work on just this, or this, you know, while they're this age, we might work on just this. So decide what ingredients you're going to blend, and then you're going to put the lid back on. Because before you actually turn it on, once you made a decision, stick to it. Put the lid back on. Don't keep changing up and down and in and out, because kids need structure. New relationships need structure. You need time to see if it's going to work. So once you do that, put the lid back on. And then once you put the lid back on, you're going to actually press the power button, because now guess what? You're going to start applying it. you're going to make it all work. So that means that you're going to do the doing. If you say that I'm going to set a day to get to know the kids all on my own, just me and them building relationship together, actually do it. Put some power behind your words. If you say I'm going to contact their parent and introduce myself, or, you know, take me and her or him go out to lunch and we get to know each other, actually put some power behind it and actually do it. If you're going to implement ideas to make them feel more comfortable, whatever that is, put the power behind it, turn it on. And then the last thing that you're going to do after, you know, you're going to pour it in your glass and get ready to do it, but you're going to look back at that blender and you're going to clean up the residue. Because blending something, you know, when you're blending and it gets messy. Somebody may get hurt. Somebody may get their feelings hurt. Something is not going to always go like you want. Clean up the residue. Don't let the mess keep building up, which you don't acknowledge it. You don't do anything about it. Talk about it. If your kid is crying, if your wife is crying, if your husband is crying, that's residue of all the things you blended. And yeah, they may understand that I got to actually do this blend. I actually got to put it in here, but that doesn't change the fact that I'm feeling some type of way about it and I got to clean it up. And don't just think that the mess is going to go away on its own, because it will not go away on its own.
That's very, very good information. Now, this is a topic that could go on and on yes. and on and on. But this is a lot of great information. You're not alone out here.
Yes.
You're going through these things. And so another thing is counseling is always
yes,
available.
Yes, counseling is available.
Yeah, counseling is always available.
So. Yeah, when you see it's not working, before you just give up on it and drag them through another thing all over again, that's part of cleaning up that residue. Get some counseling, get some help, get some professionals. Call us. We've done it. We've been doing it. And hey, I tell you what, I can't imagine my life now without my kids. And so then that's all of them. And so I love them, and I'm happy for them being better people because they have both of us in their lives.
And when you do that blend correctly, there are no steps. No step mom, no step dad.
Yeah.
Steps are something that go up and down, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a step anything.
Right.
I'm just dad.
Right.
Yeah.
So. And my daughter, she'll argue you on that point. Then, no, that's my dad. So we never like to close out without doing our affirmations. And before we do, we want to remind you again, we're just so grateful for all of our new subscribers. And now our subscribers have gone up so much that we're actually now on a new listening platform. And that is that we're on Spotify, we're on Apple, and we're on Pocket Cast now.
Pocket Cast,
check us out on any one of those platforms. Become a subscriber. And we love you so much. Thank you for allowing us to share our gift with you. And let's hit that affirmation.
Well, here comes the affirmation. Father, you have taught me the power of hope. Today, I remember that lesson and let go of any fears of not accomplishing my dreams. I pray for others who may be feeling overwhelmed or sad. Let them be moved into hope as they are visited by angels of kindness. Let those who are experiencing lack receive supernatural miracles of financial increase today. Those who are experiencing pain or sickness of any kind, engulf them with healing. Let your peace abound in homes, workplaces, and schools around the world. Father, let hope be felt, seen, and lived today in massive abundance, starting with my own life. Thank you.
Thank you. Say lie. Remember, superheroes save lives. And
we start with our own.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye.